One, I'm so excited to be back with you after quite a long time of not being able to share. And this will be the first part of a brand new school called the School of Deliverance. And in case those who have not been able to view any of our teachings, we've already done an 11-part series on the School of the Prophets. And I want you to feel free to view those particular teachings. If you go to our website at johneckhartministries.com, you can view all of the 11 hours of teaching on prophetic ministry. And this will be the first in a series on deliverance ministry. And I'm not sure how many we'll do, but we'll keep going until we get enough information out that will benefit people and give them a good understanding of the ministry of deliverance. Before I start, I do want to recommend that you purchase and go to our website and get a copy of our Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. I think it looks like it's upside down. I want you to get a copy of our Deliverance and Spiritual, let me put it this way. Okay, there it is. Our Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. It is only $12.99. And for those who are viewing for the first time, or maybe, of course, this is the first broadcast, but those who want a copy of this, I'll send you a signed copy. All of those who order this week, I'll send you a signed copy of this particular book. It is a tremendous book, a wealth of information. Almost everything I've learned in the last 30 years of being involved in the deliverance ministry. And I'll give you a brief testimony of how I got exposed to the ministry of deliverance, how we came into the ministry of deliverance in a few moments. But you can go to our website at johneckhartministries.com and you can order the Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual for a donation of $12.99. We'll shout out to you. I'll sign this particular book for those who order this particular week. And of course, this book is already in its second printing. It is doing phenomenally well. So many people have read the book already. I'm going to be sharing from this book beginning in chapter 2 in this particular program. And so I'm excited about your viewing, but also I want you to get a copy of the book because there's only so much we can cover in the teaching, in the video teaching, but it'll give you a springboard to study the book and get more information and understanding of deliverance as you read the book. Again, that's our Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. Just go to johneckhartministries.com, order it, and we'll rush it out to you. I'll sign the copy and make sure you get a copy of it as soon as we get your request in the mail. Well, the ministry of deliverance has been something that I've been involved with since 1984. So that's 30 years now that I've been involved in the ministry of deliverance. And I've seen so many miracles and so many breakthroughs in the lives of multitudes of people. We've raised up thousands of people that can minister deliverance to people. And we've seen so many people set free in the past 30 years. And in spite of seeing so many people set free, there is still such a large number of people who need this kind of ministry. And let me give you a brief testimony of how I came into the ministry of deliverance. I began my ministry in 1979. That's 35 years ago. I began preaching in 1979. I was ordained in a Pentecostal denomination in 1981. And at that particular time, I got exposed to Word of Faith teaching. And I began to really understand the power of faith and the Word of God and really began to study the Word in a disciplined way. And then I got a hold of a book. At that time, the only book I knew of that dealt with demons or casting out devils was a book by Lester Sumrall called Demons, the Answer Book. I'd already heard the testimony of Lester Sumrall of his encounter with a young lady in the Philippines, and the title of it was called Bitten by Devils. A young lady that was actually being bitten by some invisible force that was locked up in an insane asylum in the Philippines. And he went there and ministered deliverance to her and set her free from the torment of these spirits. And it really set off a revival in the Philippines. And so I got a hold of his book called Demons, the Answer Book, because at that time, Lester Sumrall was probably the most known in Word of Faith circles in the area of deliverance. And when I read the book, the primary emphasis of the book was that Christians could be oppressed, They can be suppressed. They can be obsessed. But of course, could not be possessed. And so he had a whole list of how Christians can be obsessed or oppressed or suppressed by the enemy, but not possessed. It's almost as if the teaching was that you can be oppressed by an outside force. But of course, being a Christian, the logic was that you could not have a demon inside of you. And so that's primarily what I taught in the early years of my ministry, that Christians could suffer from some type of demonic oppression, but they could not have demons inside of them. And the whole argument was whether or not a Christian could have a demon. But then close to 1984, I came into contact with the book Pigs in the Parlor by Frank Hammond. And when I read that particular book, he emphasized the fact that the translation of the word, the Greek word in the Bible that was translated as possessed, is from a Greek word, daimonizomai. And it's an unfortunate translation. In the King James Version, it says that Jesus went about casting demons out of those that were possessed with devils. And of course, when you translate the word possessed, it gives the implication that a person who has a demon is either completely taken over by demons or owned by the devil, possessed. And so when you read that particular translation in the King James, your natural inclination would be that a Christian obviously could not be owned by the devil because God owns you, or possessed by the devil because you can't be a Christian and be completely possessed or controlled by demons. And in that book, Pigs in a Parlor, it really challenged me to begin to look at my theology, and I had to really correct it, because in that book, he emphasized the fact that in the Greek, the word daimonizomai is not really translated as possessed. It simply means to be demoned or under the influence of a demon. There's no, in the Greek, there is no differentiation between being oppressed or obsessed or suppressed or possessed. Those are distinctions that are made in the English, but in the Greek, it simply means to be demoned or under the influence of a demon. That Jesus went about casting out those that were demoned or demonized. And when I read this particular book, Frank Hammond really challenged me that Christians could be demoned or in some degree under the influence of demons and in need of deliverance, not just from the outside, but from the inside. And of course, we had to then explain the fact that a Christian is spirit, soul, and body, that when a person is born again, they're born again in their spirit. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. But then there are other parts of you, your mind, your emotions, your will, your appetite, your physical body, that are maybe under the control of evil spirits. And it's likened to the temple. Remember that Jesus went into the temple, and the Bible says he drove out the thieves. The word drove out in the Greek is the same as the word cast out. It's the Greek word ekbalo, where we get the word, in my name shall they cast out devils. Jesus literally cast the thieves out of the temple. Well, we know the temple was three parts, the holy place, the holy of holies, and the outer court. We know that the thieves that were selling in the temple were not in the inner court or in the holy of holies, but they were in the outer court, and they were selling illegally and robbing the people, and Jesus drove them out. So that's a picture of a believer. The temple, we are the temple of God now. We're spirit, soul, and body. Just like as in the old covenant, the temple had three parts, holy place, holy of holies, and outer court. And so the emphasis was that a Christian who is tripart, spirit, soul, and body, can have demons in their soulish or their physical parts, but not in their spirit. And this helped explain to me how a Christian could be in need of deliverance. And that really challenged my theology. And it really challenges a lot of theology that is taught today, that Christians, you know, don't really need deliverance, can't have a demon. And so we don't really need to minister deliverance to Christians. And then I got exposed at that time to the ministry of Win Worley by ordering his books and reading his books. And I learned so much from Win Worley's books, his books, Battling the Host of Hell, Demolishing the Host of Hell, Annihilating the Host of Hell, Destroying the Host of Hell, just tremendous, tremendous teaching And then, of course, in the book Pigs in the Parlor, I got a revelation of schizophrenia and double-mindedness that I have not found in any other place as clear as in that particular book. It really gave me an understanding. And so in 1984, I began ministering to believers who were oppressed or who were demoned or under the influence of demons like fear, rejection, hurt, nicotine, alcohol, lust, perversion, things that depression, sadness, confusion, just a lot of things that believers were struggling with. And I began to minister deliverance to them. And many of them began to be set free from all kinds of evil spirits. And I saw many, many miracles. And in the past 30 years, I've seen countless miracles of people who are so bound in certain areas of their lives, but had never really received deliverance because of the theology of the church, where preachers had often told them that you don't need deliverance. You can just have it by faith. You can't have a demon. And so many of them never even sought deliverance because they were taught that they don't need deliverance. And this, I believe, is a major issue in the church, because if you're telling people that are bound, confused, hurting, and are tormented, and even though they're Christians, they've even spoken in tongues and received the Holy Spirit, yet they're struggling, they're tormented by the enemy. And if you're telling them that it's not a demon, that it's just the flesh, or it's just in the mind, and all they have to do is read the word or take it by faith, then you're really taking away from people the very thing that Jesus wants them to have, which is deliverance. It's interesting that Jesus called deliverance the children's bread. When the Canaanite woman came to him asking for deliverance for her daughter, he said, "I cannot take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And so Jesus identified the deliverance for covenant people. Well, who are the people of the covenant today? Well, they're new covenant believers, which means that deliverance belongs to us. It is our bread. It is our portion. It is our right. And when a person gets born again, oftentimes there are things in their lives that need to be cast out. And salvation, accepting Christ, is the beginning of a person's deliverance. Now, you can be delivered through the word. You can be delivered by confession. But there's simply no substitute for Mark 16, which says, "In my name shall they cast out devils." Some things need to be cast out. And that's what we're talking about in this particular series of teachings, is how you as a believer, if you're struggling and tormented and harassed by demons in a certain area of your life, and no matter what you do, you can't seem to get victory in this area. You've prayed, you've fasted, you've gone to church, you've had hands laid on you, you've believed God, you've done everything you know how to do, you've heard the word, you've been in church, you praise God, but there's things in your life that you're suffering and tormented with, well, then you're in need of deliverance. There's simply no substitute for deliverance. Deliverance is a necessary part of being a believer and being set free. So we're going to talk about the many aspects of deliverance, how to receive deliverance, and not only how to receive deliverance, but also how to be a minister of deliverance. I am convinced that every believer should be able to minister deliverance and set other people free. Every pastor, every preacher, every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, every deacon, every individual who is a leadership in a church should be able to cast out demons and set people free. That is the basics, one of the basic attributes of a believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. When Jesus sent out the 12, the first thing he gave them was power and authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. And then when he sent out the 70, he also gave them power and authority to cast out demons. So anyone that God sends, and the Bible says, how can they hit without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? Every preacher who's sent by God should at least have power and authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to set people free. So many people come to Christ out of all kinds of backgrounds, and they've been involved in all kinds of lifestyles that have opened the door for demons to come in. And many, many people come out of lifestyles of lust, adultery, perversion, alcohol, drug addiction, witchcraft, sorcery, divination. They come from a background of rejection, rebellion, double-mindedness. They come in and accept Christ. They become new creatures in their spirits, born again, and they have begun to seek God, but they're still in need of deliverance. Deliverance is a process. And let me just begin by reading from chapter 2. And we're reading from the book, Our Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. And if you don't have a copy, I want you to get a copy. And chapter 3, I asked the question, do you need deliverance? And I quote the verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have need of deliverance from time to time. There are no exceptions. I want to emphasize that everyone at some part in a portion of your life, you will be in need of deliverance, because we have so many open doors that we've opened through sin, rebellion, disobedience. Some even after they accept Christ, backsliding, turning away from God, opening the way for the enemy, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, lust, perversion. These are all doors that demons take advantage of. And of course, many who come out of all kinds of lifestyles of darkness will also be in need of deliverance when they come to Christ. Some people, when they come to Christ and they get born again, they get water baptized, because the church does not really have a strong deliverance ministry. Often that person struggles in their Christian life because there's a lack of deliverance ministry in local churches. We've not raised up or taught deliverance, or we teach people the word, we teach them faith, we hear preaching, but sometimes people struggle because in local churches they've not really developed a strong deliverance ministry. We can begin, as we grow in the Lord and in our discernment, we can begin to understand when we need spiritual victory in certain areas of our lives. Many times, as believers, we can sense hindrances in our lives that keep us from living fully in the Spirit. Deliverance is an ongoing process in the life of a believer. It is the gift. It is a gift from us to us from God to keep us from being tormented by the enemy and living in our own cycle of bondage. In their book, Pigs in the Parlor, I mentioned this book really changed my life, Pigs in the Parlor, Frank and Ida May Hammond named 7 areas in our lives that will show signs that we need deliverance. Number 1, emotional problems. We're going to first deal with the area of the emotions. The emotions are part of the soul, and there are many people, many believers that have emotional problems. And when I say emotional problems, I'm not saying you never have an emotional problem or situation, or because you have a problem that you have a demon. But when there are problems or things in your emotions that consistently manifest over a period of time that you can't seem to get victory over, things like anger, bitterness, hurt, sadness, depression, discouragement, a deep hurt, wounded spirit, crying, sorrow, pain. When you're emotionally unstable, your emotions are all over the place. You can't seem to get control of your emotion. You don't seem to have consistent joy as a believer. Then that is a sign that you may be in need of deliverance from spirits such as hurt, spirits of depression, sadness, sorrow, spirits of deep hurt, broken heart, crying, emotional bondage, emotional instability, double-mindedness, up and down in your emotions. God does not want you to be an emotional wreck, and as a believer, have no consistent joy and victory in your emotions. The second area is in the area of the mind, mental problems. And when we talk about the mind, we're talking about spirits such as confusion. We're talking about people tormenting in their minds, no peace in their minds. They can't control their thoughts, fantasy, daydreaming, lustful thoughts, confused thoughts. Their mind is always thinking negatively. They can't seem to let go of the past, bad memories, painful memories that they can't seem to shake, or just confusion, double-mindedness, schizophrenia, mental illness. These can all be the signs of demons operating in a person's mind. Remember, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the mind is a target of the enemy. And there are many believers that struggle in their thought life. They struggle in their minds. They have no victory in their thought life. They have mind binding, mind racing, mental confusion. Even people who have major problems with headaches, migraine headaches. I pray for people who have all consistent pain, migraine headaches, mental pressure, mental breakdown. They feel like they're losing their mind. I can't take it anymore. Then you're in need of deliverance. And that is an area that the enemy attacks. So number one, emotional problems. Number two, mental problems. And again, a consistent cycle of this over a period of time. There may be times when it seems like everything is okay, but you fall right back into the same bondage over and over and over again. Then you may be in need of deliverance. Number three, the third area the enemy attacks is in the tongue or the speech area. People who have a outburst of profanity, they have backbiting, lying, gossiping. The tongue is such an important part of your life. And if you don't have victory in this area, if you can't control your tongue, and the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when there are tongue issues, cursing, profanity, bitterness, gossip, lying, slander, that's a sign that there's something in your heart that is manifesting. It's coming through the tongue or the speech, and often it's hurt, it's bitterness, it's anger, it's resentment that has come because of rejection or because of abuse or because of rape or molestation or things you've gone through in the past, unresolved issues, not being able to forgive or release people. These can also be spirits that manifest through the tongue or the speech area. Number four, a common area is in the sexual area, lust and perversion. Now, when we get into sexual spirits or lust spirits, there are multitudes of them. The most common, of course, are fornication, adultery, but then you get into the area of masturbation, pornography, you get into the area of lesbianism, homosexuality, you get into the area of even frigidity, losing your sexual character, your drive, people who've been raped, molested, taken advantage of. You get into these areas of lust and perversion and fantasy. These are areas that people get tormented in, and they're driven by lust, and they can't control their sexual desires. And often spirits that go along with that are spirits of guilt, shame, and condemnation, because lust and perversion and those kinds of sexual sins, you always find yourself back in sexual sin. You find yourself soul tied to people. You find yourself always in and out of relationships, even though you're a believer and you love God. You find yourself backsliding in this area and going back in this area. You have victory in this area. Then you're probably in need of deliverance. And these are spirits that are rooted in the sexual character, but also deeply rooted in the flesh, because of course lust is something that satisfies the flesh. The next area, the area of addictions. And we're on page number 19 of the book, Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. This book I've just recently released, the area of addiction. And this is the appetite. And we're talking about spirits of a drug addiction, alcoholism, even nicotine and smoking addictions, where people can't get delivered from even eating disorders. We've dealt with people who suffer from anorexia, bulimia, eating disorders, gluttony, addiction to nicotine, even caffeine, addiction to sweets, addictions to drugs, where your appetite craves and you can't seem to get free in this particular area. The appetite is another area that's rooted in the flesh, and these kinds of spirits will cause a person to be in bondage, and eventually they will affect the health of an individual. These are not just moral things. These will affect your health, because of course addictions can open the door for sickness, infirmity, disease to come into your life because of an overindulgence in certain areas that you can't seem to be set free from. Now, a lot of addiction is rooted in rejection. We're going to talk about rejection in the weeks to come, which is one of the most common demons we deal with, which I call a door opening spirit that just opens the door for all kinds of problems to come in. But addiction is rooted in rejection. So is lust. Lust is also a spirit that's rooted in rejection, because lust and addiction is a way of self-medicating or a way of loving yourself, especially if you have been rejected or you feel like you're not loved by your parents, by your family, by other people. It's a way you medicate yourself, and it's a way you love yourself, and that is rooted in rejection. Number six, physical problems such as sickness, infirmity. Jesus cast out a spirit of infirmity. As many of the deliverances that Jesus performed were deliverances on sick people, sickness, infirmity, all kinds of spirits operating through infirmity. And we've dealt with all kinds of demons that are tied in to sickness, infirmity, physical infirmities, weakness, tiredness, demons that affect your physical body that you can't seem to get healed from. Sometimes people cannot be healed even though you lay hands on them. It's because you're dealing with a spirit of infirmity that is lodged in a certain part of their body. It can be in their stomach, their back. It can be in their bones, their muscles, their organs, their kidneys, their liver, their spleen. I mean, when we do deliverance, we've actually, the Spirit of God will have you to cast demons out of certain organs in people's body, all spirits in your lungs, your kidneys, your spleen, your back, your spine, your bloodstream, your nervous system, your heart. These areas come under attack by the enemy, and spirits can lodge in those areas, and people may need to be delivered. One of the things we're going to do in this school of deliverance is not only teach you about deliverance, but also teach you how to minister deliverance to other people and see them set free and see them be healed. And then the seventh area is religious error. Now, this is a common area, and one of the major areas of demons are religious demons and religious spirits. We're dealing with heresy, false teaching, control, domination, people that are involved in religious systems and cults and sects that are contrary to biblical teaching and sound teaching, legalism, hypocrisy, religious pride, religious error, confusion, fear of hell, fear of losing your salvation. These are demons that really attack people in the area of religion. And a lot of churches, unfortunately, are loaded with religious spirits, tradition, error, false teaching, false prophets, false apostles, false ministers, domination, control, manipulation, Jezebel, fear, torment, religious confusion, incorrect teaching, ungodly theology, because religion is an area that affects all of us. And if you've ever been in a cult, a false religion, you've ever been in a church that was controlling, dominating, manipulating for a period of time, you will need deliverance from spirits of mind control, confusion, fear, religious domination, and a lot of religious spirits that have come in as a result of being in places that are full of religious demons and religious spirits. So those are the seven areas. And by the way, when we get into the religious area, we also deal with witchcraft, occult spirits, divination. These are all spirits that operate in the spirit realm. People that delve into witchcraft, divination, even masonry, Masonic lodges, which is another form of religion. They are open to all kinds of religious spirits, religious error. When you have these kind of spirits, it hinders you from receiving revelation, hearing the voice of God. It blocks you. It gives you a lot of confusion in your walk with God. You don't have a clear mind. You have a difficult time believing God, walking in faith. You struggle with doubt. You struggle with understanding the word of God. You struggle with hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of God, flowing in the spirit, flowing in the anointing because of religious spirit. So let me read those seven areas again. Emotion, the area of the emotions, number one. The area of the mind, number two. The area of the speech or tongue, number three. The area of the sexual character, number four. The area of addictions or the appetite, number five. The area of physical or the body, including physical infirmities, number six. And then the area of the spirit or spirit realm, religious realm, number seven. When these problems begin to surface in our lives, we feel as if we are not successful. We may feel depressed, rejected, separated from God, and so on. This is what the enemy wants. But we have the help of the Holy Spirit who can reveal to us areas that we need to be set free in. We are also instructed to use our authority against the enemy and cast him out, ending his reign in our lives. Now, in this book, I've listed, and I'm going to be able to read just a few of these. I've listed over 100 ways you can determine whether you need deliverance. And when you go through this list, it's almost like it includes every problem you can think of. Based on more than 30 years of deliverance ministry, I have found that people who need deliverance have experienced one or more of the things I have listed here. These are situations that open the door for the enemy to enter our lives. These experiences give him legal right to be there. The enemy is a legalist, and he uses sin, rebellion, disobedience as a doorway to enter into the lives of people, beginning from childhood through the young adult years up until the point of salvation. Because of sin, disobedience, rebellion, the Bible says, he that breaks a hedge, a serpent will bite him. So when you violate hedges, when you violate boundaries, when you violate the word of God, you get involved in disobedience, rejection, or rebellion, pride, witchcraft, divination. These things open the door for spirits to come into our lives. But the good news is that Jesus came to set people free. Salvation means to be set free. It means to be delivered, not only from hell, but from sickness, disease, demons, failure, anything that comes as a result of sin and disobedience. Do not let the enemy add weight or guilt to something that the Lord is not leading you to deal with, but ask for boldness and courage to deal with what he shows you. I will walk you through how to seek help for what you discover in the next chapter. You may need deliverance. Number one, I want to begin with birth, with conception. God designed for every person to be born in a loving home under the covering of a man and a woman that are married, preferably that are saved and walking with God, and the child is therefore sanctified. Unfortunately, there are many people that are born out of wedlock, illegitimate, without proper covering. The parents have violated the word of God. Maybe they weren't saved, didn't know the Lord. So I'm not condemning anyone for being born. It's not a child's fault. But the enemy will take advantage of that. And if a child is not covered early in life and protected, then the enemy can take advantage of that situation. If you were conceived in adultery or fornication, this can open the door for spirits of lust. Now, we've dealt with a spirit called conceived in lust, or lust from the womb, where people, they struggle with lust at an early age because their parents were involved in lust, often fornication, not married, illegitimate. And some children actually grow up in a home where there's lust, and people are operating in all kinds of lust, families operating in lust. And as a result, spirits of lust begin to attack them at an early age. And sometimes children get involved in sexual sin at a very early age because they're not covered in the home. That can be a door opening. And then they struggle all of their life, beginning at a young age throughout their teenage years. When they accept Christ, then they still find themselves struggling with lust and perversion and other spirits they can't seem to overcome. Well, often the door was open beginning from the mother's womb, conceived in lust and born in a family where there were no boundaries, there was lust, and the enemy took advantage of that. Now, it doesn't mean if you were born in lust that you're cursed to a lustful, defeated lifestyle. Some people are able to grow up in bad situations and come out pretty good. So we're not saying that because someone was born in an unfortunate circumstance that their life has to be messed up. The enemy takes advantage, but some children seem to be stronger and they're able to resist the enemy better than other children. No two children are alike. No two situations are alike. So I'm not trying to condemn or put anyone under judgment. Different children can grow up in the same environment and end up different because we all have our own decisions. We can still say no to the enemy. We can still resist the enemy. The enemy just can't come in unless there's permission. But some children can't handle it, and they end up being tormented and taken advantage of by the enemy. Here's a good one. Number two, your parents contemplated an abortion. This can open the door for spirits of rejection, death, and fear. If your parents, well, maybe you were conceived and your parents did not feel it was the right time to have a baby, and they went and talked about having an abortion or an attempted abortion, or maybe went and talked about to a doctor about an abortion, or with children who are born into that can already have a spirit of rejection from the womb, or even spirits of death and fear of death
a lot of fear, fear of abandonment, because maybe they, when they come into the world, they pick up that they're not wanted. Even if the parent says, I love you, and the parent says, I didn't abort you, if there was an opening through abortion or an attempted abortion, that can be a direct attack upon a child and cause them to have a lot of problems with rejection, fear, and even spirits of death and premature death. Number three, you were given up for adoption. This can open the door for spirits of rejection, abandonment, and fear of abandonment. Any adopted child will probably deal with rejection because, again, it's God's best for us to grow up in a loving home with a mother and father to cover us, protect us, love us in that kind of atmosphere. And when a child is sometimes adopted because they're unwanted, or maybe because the parents died or something tragic happened, that child can feel as if they're unwanted, unloved, and it can open the door for spirits of rejection. And then the fear of being abandoned or abandonment, because maybe they were abandoned or felt abandoned by their parents. Demons take advantage of that and will attack a child at a very young age. Number four, you were abandoned by one or more parents. Maybe your father left or your mother abandoned you. This can open the door for spirits of abandonment and fear of abandonment. There's always a fear. If I was abandoned by my parent, one of my parents, maybe when I get married, will my mate abandon me? I've dealt with a lot of people who had a fear of abandonment. They were afraid their friends were going to abandon them. Their loved ones were going to abandon them because they've been a victim of abandonment. And abandonment is a terrible, terrible feeling when you've been abandoned, when you've been left. And sometimes you blame yourself. Sometimes you say, was it my fault that someone left me? It can open the door for spirits of rejection, self-rejection, because you feel rejected by the person that abandoned you. Number five, you were an orphan. This can open the door for spirits of rejection and abandonment. And again, you can be an orphan and grow up and be successful. I'm not saying because you were abandoned or an orphan that you're automatically demonized. Again, some people tend to respond to things differently and better than others. Some children tend to shake things off and grow up and live successful. Another child, same thing, can grow up tormented by the enemy. So I'm not saying if you went through these things that you're automatically cursed or you're automatically demonized, but you can be tormented because these can be open doors for demons to come into a person's life. Number six, you were abused as a child. This can open the door for spirits of rejection, fear, and hurt. If you were beaten, over-disciplined, abused, sexually molested, raped, taken advantage of, these are open doors for rejection, hurt, fear, abuse, molestation, rape. People grew up with these spirits. They grow in adulthood with these spirits. They never get delivered, and they're tormented by this. There's a fear that maybe someone else will abuse me. Someone else would have hurt me. They shut down. They set up walls. They don't let anyone get close to them because of this kind of abuse. Now, I am not talking about psychology here. I'm talking about deliverance. I'm talking about demons. And that's one thing that psychologists don't deal with. Often people with these problems end up going to a psychiatrist and they end up being medicated or put on some type of medication to kind of cover the problem. But really, they can end up even in more bondage because then they become addicted to medications, things that try to cover up. And we're going to get in the whole area of medications and pharmacia and sorcery in the days to come when we teach about some of these medications that are really not medicines. It's really a form. Medicines heal, but drugs that don't heal but just cover up can be another source of bondage. Number seven, you were raped or molested as a child. This can open the door for spirits of lust, shame, and hurt. And again, that's obvious. If you were raped, molested, you'd be surprised at the number of people that have come from homes where there was rape, molestation, incest, perversion. Some of them have never, ever told anyone what they're struggling with. And the thing about deliverance is that when you get involved in deliverance, people will tell you things that they ordinarily would never tell anyone, because they'll trust you that you'll keep it confidential, you'll love them, you'll not judge them, and you'll help set them free. because of your compassion and your love for them. But you'd be surprised at the number of people that have been hurt, molested, taken advantage of with children. And that opens the door for spirits to come into a person, rejection, hurt, shame, embarrassment, even spirits of perversion. Uncleanness can be transmitted that way and transferred by someone who was perverse in their treatment of you. You were the victim, but the enemy takes advantage of that. It wasn't your fault, but the enemy doesn't care. He still takes advantage of the situation, the sin, the hurt, what was done to you, and he'll come into your life to destroy you if he can. Number 8, your mother had a difficult pregnancy. This can open the door for spirits of fear that enter through trauma. Pregnancy is a very sensitive time. Travail in birthing a child is a very sensitive time. It needs to be done with the fear of the Lord. It's the way God brings us into the world. Some women have difficult times in pregnancy. They really go through a lot of trauma when they're birthing because of difficulties. Sometimes that trauma is passed to the child. The child grows with fear because they came through the birth canal in trauma. And there can be spirits of infirmity and fear and trauma that actually torment a child because of a difficult pregnancy or very difficult delivery. Number 9, your mother had a long or hard labor. This can open the door for spirits of fear that enter through the trauma. Now we'll find that trauma is one of the ways that the enemy can also come into people. We dealt with people who grew up in war zones with the trauma of war. They were beaten. They were abused. Some type of traumatic experience. Difficult pregnancy. It was very traumatic for the mother. The child came through that period of trauma. The enemy can open the door, or that can open the door for spirits of fear, trauma, infirmity to come into a child. And sometimes we need deliverance from these things as we grow older. And number 10, I'll stop after this. You almost died during the first few years of your life. This can open the door for spirits of death and premature death. Maybe you had a near-death experience. Maybe you were a child that was very sickly and almost died. The enemy, it could have been a spirit of death or premature death that was attacking your life, and God had mercy upon you, and someone prayed for you, or you came through because of a doctor's help. But sometimes those spirits of death and premature death need to be dealt with later in life. Now, I have over 100 of these, so we're going to take some time to go through all of them, and it's going to take some weeks, but I encourage you to get a copy of my book, Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. This book has over almost 250 pages of information on deliverance. It is a wealth of information. If you go to my website at johneckhartministries.com and order it, it's only $12.99. For those who are ordering this week, I'll sign a copy for you and send it to you. And I know that you'll be blessed by the teaching as we go step by step through this school of deliverance. Now, I believe that we have some questions. And I want to be able to, we don't have any questions, okay? We'll do questions later. I apologize for that. We do want to get a chance to answer your questions and also pray for people. Of course, I'm very careful when I pray deliverance. I don't want to do this really online and have anyone manifesting at home. It's best to go to a good Bible-believing church or get someone that's experiencing deliverance. In our church, we have deliverance every Tuesday evening. We have people that we raised up to minister deliverance. We've ministered to thousands of people in the last 30 years and seen miracles and ministry that we could never seen any other way. Now, I mentioned the fact that the areas that you may need deliverance in are, again, the emotional area. I'm on page number 71. Let me expand on this in the next 15 minutes. On page 71. The emotional area. There are many believers who are bound in the area of their emotions, spirits of hurt, rejection, anger, hatred, rage, sadness, and grief can all dwell in the emotions. There are also spirits that can block and bind up our emotions. People with emotional problems are often in need of deliverance. Command spirits that are dwelling in the emotions to come out and pray for the person's emotions to be healed and restored. The Bible says he restores my soul. Your soul is your emotions are part of your soul, your soulish realm. And then the body.
I mentioned the fact that demons desire to indwell bodies and consider them their habitation.
Different parts of the body can be the dwelling place for certain kinds of spirits. For example, stubbornness and rebellion
can lodge in the neck and in the shoulder area. In the Bible, a stiff neck and pulling away the shoulder was a picture of rebellion.
We pray for many people when spirits of rebellion and stubbornness manifest. They actually pull away and they actually feel pain in their neck or shoulder area
because those spirits can lodge in those particular areas. Spirits of lust can dwell in the eyes because, of course, lust comes through the eyes and of looking on something in a lustful way. The hands, the abdomen, and any part of the body that has been yielded to sexual sin. Spirits of mind control and confusion would naturally dwell in the head area. We lay hands on people, their forehead, the back of the head, the side of the head, deal with spirits of mind control, which sometimes in the spirit looks like an octopus with tentacles that wraps around a person's head and sometimes causes pain, confusion, mind control, can't control their thoughts, hearing voices, confusing thoughts that can operate in the head area. Pride can lodge in the back and spine area. Pride. Also in the chest, being puffed up in the chest area. Pride can manifest in that particular area to poke out the chest. Spirits of infirmity can lodge in the body. Healing for the body is directly tied to deliverance. Spirits of infirmity must be cast out before healing can take place. Notice in Luke 13, 11 through 13. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he said unto her, called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Jesus loosed this woman from a spirit of infirmity that was evidently dwelling in her back or spine area. This spirit caused her to be bowed over. Jesus healed her by casting the spirit out of her body. When sicknesses and diseases are treated as demons and cast out, we will see greater manifestations of healing. According to Acts 10:38, sickness is an oppression of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So many sicknesses are really demonic. Oppressions of the devil. We've dealt with cancer. We've dealt with high blood pressure. We've dealt with all kinds of almost any sickness you can name. It doesn't mean because you're sick that it's a demon, but often there are demons that cause people to be chronically sick. A lot of it is connected to stress and worry. A lot of it is connected to unforgiveness and bitterness. Those are spirits as well that can cause spirits of infirmity to lodge in a person's body. If a person does not forgive, does not release people, they can be tormented by the enemy and not be healed. Sometimes it can be sin, rebellion, even pride can open the door for spirits of sickness and infirmity to come into a person's life. Luke 4:40, when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Notice when they brought sick people to Jesus, when he laid his hands on them, the Bible says he healed them and devils also came out of many. Sometimes when we read those verses, we think that Jesus was ministering to two classes of people, the sick and the demonized. But really, there were sick people that were demonized. And when sick, and another problem with sickness is that when people have been chronically sick or over a period of time, other spirits can enter in. Spirits of fear, worry, anxiety, depression, sadness, because sickness has a way of breaking you down, not only physically, but breaking you down emotionally and mentally. And people get discouraged. They give up. They get tired. They get weary. They get tormented. They have a lot of fear of dying. So sickness can contain a lot of spirits. We need more deliverance in this area to really see more healings and deliverances, healings in our church and in our services. Notice that as Jesus was ministering to the sick through the laying on of hands, evil spirits would manifest and he would cast them out. Let me say this. When you operate in deliverance, you'll see more miracles of healing. The problem with our churches is We believe in healing and we lay hands on the sick, but often we don't practice deliverance.
We separate the two, but deliverance and healing are connected. And you can lay hands on people by faith and get them healed, but your healings will increase as you operate in deliverance, because there are many spirits of infirmity that if they're not cast out, then some people will not get healings and breakthroughs in their physical bodies. Mark 3:11, 3:10 through 11. And I'm on page 72 of the book that I'm ministering from, our Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. It says, for he healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. Evidently, everywhere Jesus went ministering with the healing anointing, demons would react and come out. Demons hate the anointing because it causes them to manifest and it drives them out. When praying for people with infirmities, command spirits that are hiding in their body to come out.
You can also command spirits to come out of the bones, muscles, joints, blood, nerves, and glands. Sometimes the Spirit of God will give you a word of knowledge where, if there is a spirit or if there is a particular sickness in a person's body, if you operate by the Spirit, you can get a word of knowledge and really hit it. Bones, arthritis, pain, rheumatism, joints, muscles. I pray for people's nervous system. I pray for their muscular system, their skeletal system. I pray for their glands when they're having glandular problems or overactive gland and hormones are imbalanced, causing all kinds of problems. I pray for those areas and seeing people get healed and delivered. And so we need to really operate more extensively in the healing ministry and just laying hands on somebody saying, be healed. God will use you that way. At times, the Spirit of God will do that, and you can have a miracle. But there may be times when you need to deal with spirits, and you need to deal with certain issues in a person's life that go beyond just physical touch, but actually ministering deliverance to them and seeing them set free. Then I talked about the speech. Every evil spirit that manifests through the tongue, often hiding in the heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Matthew 12 and 34. Spirits that hide in the hearts can include bitterness, lust, pride, fear, hatred, hurt, sadness, covetousness, greed, and unbelief. Casting, cursing, lying, blasphemy, murmuring, filthy conversation are spirits that link up with spirits in the heart to manifest through the tongue. If the enemy can control your tongue, he will control you, he control you or ensnare you through the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6 and 2. When praying for people with problems in the speech area, command spirits that are hiding in the heart also to come out. Then I talk about the appetite. This is the problem area for many people. We were once praying for a young lady suffering from anorexia nervosa who had completely lost her appetite. She would regurgitate any food she tried to eat and was slowly dying of starvation. We commanded the evil spirits to come out of her appetite, and she began to scream and speak that it felt like someone was sticking a knife in her stomach. She was set free, regained her appetite, and is now serving the Lord. Addiction spirits to food, alcohol, and drugs can be in the appetite, causing the person to have a compulsive desire in these areas. But we can command these spirits to come out of the appetite. Remember, we need to bring demons out of the caves they're hiding in to expose and cast them out. Demons like to hide. That's why when you understand where they can hide and you know their names, you know how they work, you shine light in the darkness, you get a much greater result in the area of deliverance. Remember, we need to bring demons out of caves they're hiding in and expose and cast them out. Once you know their location, where they're hiding, it will help you cast them out. Addiction spirits can also dwell in the mouth, taste buds, throat, and stomach area. Then I talked about the sexual character. Spirits of lust, perversion, adultery, fornication will invade and seek to control a person's sexual character. Along with sexual sin comes guilt, shame, and condemnation, which will hide in a person's conscience, causing them to feel guilty, ashamed. Sexual sin is a sin against the body, and the enemy wants believers to be bound in this area. Spirits of lust and sexual impurity can dwell in any part of the body that has been yielded to sexual sin. Pornography is an open door for lust spirits to enter. The eyes and masturbation spirits can indwell in the hands. Command evil spirits to come out of the sexual character in different parts of the body and when praying for people with sexual problems. So those are some of the areas that we deal with when we're dealing in deliverance. And we're going more into detail of who needs deliverance in the sessions to come. And I want you to tune in every program, because I'll go into, especially when we get into the area of double-mindedness, schizophrenia, instability, which is another whole subject that every deliverance minister and person needs to understand, how the enemy comes in to really wreck a person's personality. They need deliverance, healing, and restoration. The good news is that Jesus is a healer and a deliverer. The Bible says he was manifest. The Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And God uses us, his people, to set people free, destroy the works of the devil. When people get delivered, they get healed, they get restored, they become stable, they begin to praise God, they live clean, they're set free, they have joy. Deliverance is one of the greatest miracles that a person can receive. When you get delivered, you have a testimony. So no matter what you're going through, maybe as you're watching this program, you're saying, my God, Brother Eckhart, I'm bound in all those areas. But don't be discouraged. Keep listening, because as you begin to get knowledge, the Bible says, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Knowledge itself will begin to set you free. When light comes, darkness will be destroyed, and you'll begin to be set free just by listening to these programs, even by reading good deliverance books. You can begin the process of self-deliverance, getting someone to pray for you, getting deliverance. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't be tormented. Don't get afraid. The enemy hasn't killed you now. You're not about to die. You have a chance to get set free. So I want to encourage you, and I want you to write in and get a copy of this book, The Deliverance and Spiritual Warfare Manual. Everything I'm ministering in this school of deliverance is found in this particular book that I've written. It's almost 30 years of experience being in deliverance. This is my 35th year of ministry, but my 30th year of being involved in the deliverance ministry. And I've seen so many miracles around the world. In over 80 nations, I've seen people set free in my church around the world, set free from demons, and so many miracles and testimonies. And I want you to have a testimony, but I also want you to become a part of this deliverance army that God is raising up. Don't forget to go to my website, www.johneckhartministries.com. And you can order the book. It's only $12.99. I'll sign the copies of those who are writing in during the School of Deliverance. I'll send you a signed copy. And when you get the book, study with me, tune me in again. I'll let you know exactly when we're going to have the next School of Deliverance. You can go to my Facebook page, and I'll always announce it. You can either go to crusaderschurch.org. I usually have a chance for questions. I didn't have a chance to do it this time, but maybe the next program we'll be able to do it to the Google Hangout. I'll give you a chance to ask questions. I know you have many questions, but just hold on. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about. And Father, I just pray for everyone that is viewing this teaching. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a fresh anointing for deliverance. Lord, raise up thousands and thousands of people, preachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, that will not only preach but demonstrate the power of your kingdom and set people free. Lord, I pray for everyone that's watching this program that feels bound, harassed, vexed, tormented by the enemy. I pray that the devil will loose them and they'll begin to be set free from spirits of rejection, hurt, anger, bitterness, lust, perversion, witchcraft, confusion, domination, sickness, disease, infirmity. Father, I pray that those demons will begin to leave your life and they'll begin to come out. Enemy can no longer hide. You're being exposed. The light of God is shining. The ministry of deliverance is increasing and going forth across the land. Churches are embracing it. People of God are embracing it. The power of God is in manifestation. The kingdom of God is advancing. And as Jesus said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Lord, I pray that the kingdom would manifest strong, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in the lives of those who are being set free. Lord, you set your people free, that they'll receive deliverance, which is the children's bread.
and I speak peace and shalom and favor and blessing, and every demon that has been blocking, hindering you from growing and being the Christian and the believer you desire to be, from keeping you from living holy and driving you, harassing you at night when you sleep and in during the day with worry and stress, anxiety, pain, hurt, and things from the past and trauma, I break those assignments of the enemy, and I command those spirits to loose you and to come out of your life and for you to be set free by the power of God. Father, I speak shalom, healing, and restoration upon everyone that is viewing this teaching, and I pray, Lord, that the anointing of deliverance that is upon this teaching will go around the world, Lord, and that you'll shake people, you'll shake churches, you'll shake regions, and you'll shake territories in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we believe that there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved other than the name of Jesus. That name is above every name. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and every demon shall bow to that name. That name has power over every spirit, every demon. You cannot stand before that name. And so we invoke the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we say in that mighty name, go, loose, come out, be healed, be delivered, and be restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that you are blessed. Keep tuning in. We'll announce part two. It's coming soon. So please follow us. And until you hear from me again, as always, go on and leave. May God bless you and keep you, and shalom, double shalom, is my prayer.